are as Americans. Amen? And God has blessed America. Can you say amen? Amen. Come on. So I want to encourage you about our country. Today I want to tackle a subject sort of head on. The separation of church and state. How many have heard that statement? Come on, let's talk about it. The separation of church and state. The title of my message today is called Freedom from Religion or Freedom of Religion. Well, we've been given the rights in this country to have freedom of religion. But it's been turned on its head in so many situations, especially with the government, where it's been made to be freedom from religion. Can't have anything to do in schools, churches, government, with religion because there's freedom from religion. You understand? Yes or no? And what happens is, we don't know. We're living life, man. We don't get into this stuff, a lot of us, if you're telling the truth. So I want to look at it today. Here it is, you know, the Sunday before, you know, Independence Day. Next Sunday we'll have a special message on the flag. You're right in here. How about the flag, Old Glory, red, white, and blue? And I'm excited about it. Okay? You'd be surprised what next week will be like. Okay? But today, freedom from religion or freedom what? Of religion. Y'all okay? Y'all ready? Say. It'd help me if you act like you're not going to sleep when I'm preaching. It will help me. Amen? Come on. Here we go. Proverbs 18:17 says, "He who states his case first seems right until another comes along and challenges him." We hear it all the time. Separation of church and state. Separation of church and state. Well, there's separation of church and state. You know, it's in the Constitution. Separation of church and state. You know, we've even put it in the Declaration of Independence. Separation of church and state. I'm sure it must be carved on stone somewhere at the White House. Separation of church and state. We're told this. We believe this. Separation of church and state. It's part of who we are. It's part of our government. Separation of church and state. Is it? Let's learn the separation of church and state. Most people believe this phrase. What phrase? Separation of church and state. Most people believe it's in the U.S. Constitution. Nowhere. Read it. Get it. Look at it. Is separation of church and state referenced in the U.S. Constitution? Can't we thank God for that? Come on, praise the Lord with me. Come on! Now, this is going to be a mess. There's going to be some fire in it. I'm excited about it. All right? Here we go. Nowhere! But wait a minute. Separation of church and state. Separation of church and state. What's up with that? Justice Oliver Wendell Holmes once said, "It's one of the misfortunes of the law that ideas become insisted in phrases and thereafter for a long time cease to provoke further analysis." If you say something long enough, people will what? Believe it. That's what he was saying. The phrase separation of church and state has become one of these misfortunes of law. The fact that I could say separation of church and state, how many have heard of it? Almost every hand went up in this room. That's incredible. And it does not appear in the Constitution. But if we would have done a poll with a piece of paper on you coming in the door today, does separation of church and state appear in the Constitution? I guarantee it, we'd have had a lot of yeses on those pieces of paper. Do we know better now, yes or no? Does not appear in the U.S. Constitution whatsoever. So next time, if you ever ask that, can you put no? Say. Okay, so we're learning. Let's keep moving. Thomas Jefferson himself, and we're going to talk about Thomas Jefferson. Why am I quoting him now? Because he is a big part of this whole thing. Okay, and you might say, "I'm at church. Why is he talking about this?" Because we live in America, and freedom of religion is part of what we're doing here today, guys. This is very important. Amen? And we need to know stuff. So let's talk a little bit about Thomas Jefferson. Here's what he said on every question. And by the way, he was a signer of the Declaration of Independence, okay? All right? Was, the third president, okay? So he's pretty important. He was there. Can you say he was there? He was there. Can we talk about the man who was there? That's pretty important. Not what some judge somewhere down the way said a long time later. Let's go with who was there. He said, on every question of construction, we must carry ourselves back to the time, say it with me, when the what? Was adopted. Recollect the Spirit manifested in those debates. And instead of trying what meaning may be squeezed out of the text or invented against it, conform to the probable one in which it was a part. Doesn't that make good sense? Say, instead of trying to reinvent the Constitution, get it to say things it doesn't say, why don't we go back and see what it said? And what they meant when they said it. Is that not plain sense to you or what? Say. That's what we're doing here today. So where did separation of church and state come from? It's out there, isn't it? Say, it's everywhere. You got it. It was in this whole audience this morning. You had it. So where did it come from? And by the way, I'm not angry. I'm just having a good time up here. Okay? It's nice to talk when you know you're right. You understand? And that's not me being arrogant. This is just going to be on the screen in front of you. Oh, and by the way, it'll be right there for you on the notes. You can catch it on our website. You can go to YouTube and play it again. Not ashamed of what the quotes will be today. On October 7th, where did the separation of church and state come from? Came from somewhere. Well, on October 7th, 1801, a letter from the Danbury Baptist Association Committee was written to then President Thomas Jefferson. So they wrote a letter to Thomas Jefferson. He was just newly elected president. Okay? You can read the whole letter. There it is on the right. But we picked out this part because we ain't got all day. But read the whole thing. I read it. Pretty interesting. Religion, writing to the president, is at all times and places a matter between God and individuals. This is the church folk writing a letter. That no man ought to suffer in name, person, or effects on account of his religious what? Opinions. So they wrote this letter. Have I lost you yet? They wrote this letter to Thomas Jefferson. And you can go back into the history of why they wrote the letter. They basically were in a location. They were Baptist. It was not quite as many of them as the other folks up there. And they didn't want to suffer because of their beliefs. And they just wanted it to be made clear that we should have freedom as well to believe the denomination that we believe in. You understand? So they're writing this letter to the president. And guess what? He wrote them back. Where did separation of church and state come from? Did it come from the Danbury Baptist letter? Was it in there? No. Where did it come from? It came from President Thomas Jefferson, who responded to who? The Danbury Baptist Association. Have I lost you yet? He responded on January 1, 1802. Just a couple of months later. Not too bad for the president way back when, I wouldn't say, would you? Not going to read the whole letter, but you can. It's okay, I did. Here's his response. Believing with you that religion is a matter which lies solely between man and his God, that he owes account to none other for his faith or his worship. This is Thomas Jefferson writing. That legitimate powers of government reach actions only and not what? Opinions. I contemplate with sovereign reverence that act of the whole American people, which declared that their legislature should make no law respecting the establishment of religion or what? Prohibiting the free exercise thereof. Thus, say it with me, this is his letter, building a wall of separation between church and state. So where did the phrase separation church and state come from? It came from whose letter? Okay, was it in the Constitution? Bill of Rights? Declaration of Independence? It came from a what? A what? A letter to who? Was it law? Was it voted on in Congress? Was it a bill? Say. No. It came from where? A letter to the Danbury Baptist, because they had written him. He's writing them back. That's just being a nice fella. Okay? That's where it came from. Do you now know where it came from? Okay. Was it in the Constitution? Thus building a wall of separation between church and state. Now keep reading. Adhering to this expression of the supreme will of the nation in behalf of the rights of conscience, I shall see with sincere satisfaction the progress of those sentiments which tend to restore man to all his natural rights, convinced he has no natural right in opposition to his social duties. I reciprocate your kind prayer for the protection and blessing of the common... Say that with me. That's funny right there. The guy who said separation of church and state, and it's a law, you know, it's in the Constitution, he writes them back, and actually he's the President of the United States, and he's talking about his Creator and common Father and God. That's how goofy all this is. Have I lost you yet? And tender you for yourselves and your religious association assurance of my high respect and esteem. And he signs it Thomas Jefferson. Okay, now, how you doing? Okay. Do you think presidents have written lots of letters? Aren't you glad that letters from the president aren't the law of the land? Say. Isn't that nice? Say. Aren't you glad every letter from every president isn't the law of the land, but there's a procedure we go through to get what we have as laws? Isn't that a pretty nice thing? Say. So where did separation of church and state come from? It came from what? A letter. If you didn't learn anything else today, you've learned a bucket load right there. Because you... I want you to be on notice now from here on. You'll be on notice from here on out when you watch news. You hear different things. You're going to see people make their arguments for so many things based on separation of church and state. And it came from a what? A letter. Let's just keep looking. Stay with me. Was President Thomas Jefferson saying that the government should have nothing to do with church and church have nothing to do with government? Listen. No. Instead of looking at a single letter that he wrote to the Danbury Baptist Association, if you want to know what Jefferson believes, you should look at his actual rulings and writings before he ever became president. There's tons of them. We take one letter and we change all of society with it, basically, in the last 70 years. All we got to do is look what Thomas Jefferson believed. You know he's been made out to be an atheist, didn't believe in God. You've heard all that, right? Get our Thomas Jefferson video. It's out back. If there's any, we'll give those away for free. Just take it. Okay? Here we go. What did Thomas Jefferson believe? What was his rulings before he ever became president? If this man believed separation of church and state, there should be a wall. Well, let's look. That's my birthday right there on May 24th. See that? On May 24, 1774, Thomas Jefferson participated in drafting and enacting a resolution designating, say it with me, a day of what? And he's a government official. And he's doing what? He's calling for fasting. And he issues us a day of fasting and humiliation and prayer. Oh, there's his wall. You can't do that. That makes sense, does it? Let's look at another one. This resolution occurred only a few days before he wrote this one. A bill for establishing religious freedom. Here's another one, all in this time period. In 1779, while Jefferson was governor of Virginia, so he's what? He's governor of Virginia. He issues a proclamation decreeing, say it with me, a day of public and solemn and prayer to who? But you're told, honestly, if you run for politics or run from some office, or for some office or something like that, you know what I'm saying? You got to keep that separate because the wall of separation of church and state. And we wonder why things aren't getting done and wonder why things have gone to hell in a handbasket so often. You understand? Yes or no? Okay? In the late 1770s, I found this fascinating. Thomas Jefferson, he was chair of the Virginia Committee of Revisers. He was the chief architect of a measure entitled A Bill for Appointing Days of Public Fasting and Thanksgiving. There was actually a bill for appointing these particular days for the state of Virginia. Interesting, this bill authorized the governor or chief magistrate, listen to this, with the advice of his council, to designate days of thanksgiving and fasting, and watch this, and required that the public be notified by proclamation. The bill also provided that, watch this, every minister of the gospel shall on each day so be appointed attend and perform divine service and preach sermon or discourse suited to the occasion in his church on pain of forfeiting 50 pounds for every failure, not having a reasonable excuse. The man who said separates the church and state just a few years earlier was fining preachers if they didn't do it. How can we take one statement out of a letter and do with it what we've done? Does that make any sense to you? Okay? Why am I talking about this today? Again, I'm not angry. I'm blessed. I'm preaching in a public school auditorium. Very few countries you'd do this. A lot of states you wouldn't do what we're doing. So I'm blessed. I'm not fussing or complaining. I'm just trying to look and see, is it true? What is that? You hear me today? Say. Keep looking. So is it freedom from religion or is it freedom of religion? Okay? Let's keep looking. What did President Thomas Jefferson mean by the word separation of church and state? What did he mean? Jefferson undoubtedly meant that the First Amendment prohibited federal Congress from enacting any law respecting an establishment of religion. That's what the First Amendment does. And prohibiting the free exercise thereof, just like the Constitution states. He didn't write that and turn around and mean something else in his letter. It makes no sense. As the chief executive president now of the federal government, the president's duty was to carry out the directives of what? If Congress had no authorities in matters of religion, then neither did the what? That's what he was saying. They make laws, I carry out those laws. Okay? And he was writing to the Danbury Baptists and assuring them, that's what I'm doing here, you don't have to worry, you're going to be okay. Does that make any sense to you? Religion was clearly within the jurisdiction of the church and individual what? States. He was writing as the president on behalf of himself. Basically, it's a private letter. But from his position in the federal government. Okay? Hang in here with me because this is where we can get lost. As a legislator, Jefferson saw no problem. We already saw it. He had no problem with proclaiming days of thanksgiving and prayer. And even on one occasion, he prescribed penalties to the clergy for failure to abide by the state proclamations. So obviously, he had no problem with religion and government. No problem because he actually was doing that. Is that correct? Sure it is. Matt Staver from Liberty Council. Actually, Matt's mama lived down here in Punta Gorda for years. And anyway, he's a good writer and lawyer. Matt Staver from Liberty Council puts it this way. The First Amendment says more about federalism than it does about religious freedom. In other words, the purpose of the First Amendment, that's where you have, you know, free exercise of religion. Okay, etc. In other words, the purpose of the First Amendment was to declare that the federal government had absolutely no jurisdiction in matters of religion. Okay? That's not the way it is today, guys. It could neither establish a religion nor prohibit the free exercise of religion. The First Amendment clearly erected a barrier between the federal government and religion on a state level. If a state chose to have no religion or to have an established religion, the federal government had no jurisdiction one way or the other. Did that make sense to you? You know how you have a governor? You know how you have a governor? You got your Congress, you got your Senate, you got your representatives in each state. You know how that works? That's so they can make their laws. How many knows laws in Florida are different from the laws of the states you came from? Can I see your hand? Who did that? They did it because they got the right to do it. You understand? But now you can do that, but now watch it. No, you can't do that with religion, though, see. Well, that's crazy. Why can you have all these other laws and things like that? But we as a nation, there's this wall of separation of church and state. There's not. That was never the intent. This is what Thomas Jefferson meant by the wall of separation. In context, the word state really references the who. Yeah, he was basically saying that. He's writing a letter. That's all he was doing, is writing a letter. He didn't go. He didn't know it was going to be scrutinized forever like it has been. I think in looking back, he'd have probably put federal government. You know what I'm saying? Instead of state. The First Amendment did not apply to the individual states. It was only applicable as a restraint against the who. Okay. Hope I'm not losing you. Okay? We don't have much longer, but it'd be nice if you hang in here. So where did the separation of church and state run off the rails? Now, that letter was written in 1802. Did you know in this country when their kids were educated in the 1800s, they had something called the New England Primer? Did you know they learned the Ten Commandments and the books of the Bible? Did you know that, yes or no? Oh, for years. How many remember, they've got some old enough in this audience, how many remember at the school you went to, you had prayer, you had something about a Bible or a scripture or something like that? Is that true, yes or no? Am I lying up here? Do you see what I'm saying? Guys, this was the way it was. Something happened. And it goes back to that letter. Now, that letter wasn't a problem in 1802. But it came a problem in 1947. Let's look at it. In 1947, say 1947. Am I boring you to tears? Good. And I don't do this every week. If you come here, don't think I'm going to do this every week because this would kill me. All right? I like preaching the Word and staying like that. But this is, I think it's important for us. In 1947, the Supreme Court applied the First Amendment to the states. When actually, the First Amendment was freeing the states. But they applied it to the states, turning the First Amendment on its head and completely inverting its meaning. Let's examine that a little carefully. Let's look at it. Not, you can go back and look at all this stuff yourself, but in the 1947 case of Everson versus Board of Education, Justice Hugo Black was writing for the majority, and he stated, look at him, in the words of who? I wish he'd have put in the words of Jefferson in that little old letter he wrote to him folk one day. But he didn't, did he? In the words of Jefferson, the clause against the establishment of religion was intended to erect a what? Wall of separation between church and state. And buddy, this sounds good. It sounds good what he's about to say. Neither a state nor the federal government can set up a church. Neither can pass laws which aid one religion or all religions. That's really not true. Or prefer one religion over another. No tax in any amount, large or small, can be levied to support any religious activities or institutions, whatever they may be called, or whatever form they may adopt to teach or practice religion. But watch this. Oh boy, he's getting bold. The First Amendment has erected a wall of separation between church and state. That wall must be kept high and impregnable. Oh my gosh, I'd like to say, calm down. We could not approve the slightest breach. Wow. Supreme Court, 1947. And it came from a letter. And many of y'all were in schools having Bibles and prayer. Is that true, yes or no? Right when this was going on, many of y'all, that was probably some of your youth or when you were a kid. Things started to change, didn't it? Did you notice it or not? That's why we're talking about it today. What he said has gone on to mean. What he said in 1947 has gone on to mean no Bibles in school. No prayers in school or at graduations. Keep that at your what? And out of anything that has to do with federal or what? Oh, okay. Did you know a local county runs their school board? And did you know a state runs their school system? You know what I'm saying? Sometimes you get money from the government for a state education, but most of it's got from your taxes. Is that right on your bills that you get a tax bill? Is that right? But the states don't have freedom to say what they want to say. Oh, you can say all kinds of things and make up all kinds of laws, just not about that religion. Now, that's the wall. There. Do you understand? God, get out of our government. That's what they're saying. Unless something bad happens. Then all of a sudden, where'd God go? Oh, God, help us. Is that true? Yes or no? Okay, it is the truth, guys. Again, I'm not preaching angrily. This is more just a history lesson today. You do the history lesson. President Thomas Jefferson never meant that. He never meant that. He was actually writing a letter of support to the Baptist folk. He never meant that. Separation of church and state is one phrase in one letter. Oh, no, now it's a lot of places now. Yeah, but it all goes back to that. It is not in the what? We're almost done with the message, guys. Come on. The wall of separation of church and state, as understood by Jefferson, was never meant to exclude people of faith from influencing and shaping government. Jefferson would be shocked to learn that his letter has been used as a weapon against religion. Freedom of religion has become freedom from religion. Certainly made our work a lot harder. I'm not complaining. Just saying. If there's ever been a time in our nation's history that we need God, it's when? It's now. Yeah, praise the Lord. Come on, right now. Come on. In God we trust. Now, the message should be over right now, but we still have time. No, it's part of the message. That was just a tease. That's just a tease right there. It ain't over yet. Oh, by the way, do you know what constitution does have the phrase separation of church and state? Is it ours? Mm-mm. The Soviet Union. The former Soviet Union. The 1936 USSR Constitution, Article 124, in order to ensure the citizens' freedom of conscience, the church in the USSR is separated from the state and the school from the church. 1977 USSR Constitution, Article 52, in the USSR, the church is separated from the state and the school from the church. That's just to make you think. The idea of separation of church and state does not come from the Constitution. Oh, excuse me. Let me read that again. Well, he's going to take this. The idea of separation of church and state does come from the Constitution. Say it with me. Just not ours. Can we praise the Lord for that? That some founders and framers had some good sense? Yeah. Come on, guys. The First Amendment to the Constitution of the United States. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. I mean, I just want y'all to know, I'm glad that Congress doesn't run Fellowship Church. Amen? Say. I just don't believe we'd have built the building debt free like we're doing. You understand what I'm saying? And you understand what I'm saying? Can you imagine the committee mess? And I'm going to tell you something, fellas, you might not like me on this. I don't plan to model the government at Fellowship Church according to the government of this United States. The current one. Do you hear me? Are y'all listening or not? Okay, we'd like to get things done. Amen? Come on. Freedom of religion. Say it with me. Not freedom from religion. Did you get the message today or not? Can you say that with me? In God we trust. I want to close with that statement right there. Why do we say that? See, I don't know who's in the audience today or who's going to be listening on radio or television. Listen, why do we say this series is called In God We Trust? It's because it's on all your coins. Pull it out and look at it. Look on your dollar bills, your 20, and all that kind of good stuff. What is it? It's called In God We What? In God We Trust. It actually was voted by the federal government as our national motto. My goodness. That doesn't even seem to make sense with the separation of the church and the state stuff, does it? If our national motto is what? It just doesn't make sense, does it? Say. Okay. Well, it's just for your thinking today. Amen. Am I complaining? No, I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I live in the greatest country on the face of the earth. Okay? Flat out. I'm tickled to live here. Amen? It is bothersome, though, that one letter has changed so much. Let's stand together. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Not too many ran out on me, and the ones that ran out came back. That's good. That was a bathroom break, obviously. Nothing like talking about history that makes you go to the bathroom. You know what I'm saying? Amen. Sermons and history. Woo! There you go. Here we go. Praise the Lord. Glad you're here today. I do want to close, though. I know this was crazy today, but you know what? This is America. And I think it's important that we take the time like we did today. And I hope it found good ground in your heart today. And I wish so much you could have heard the first message on the Declaration of Independence, and that one had so much to do with God. Okay? But let's bow our head in prayer. Father, thank you that we can speak like this today. Father, I pray that you'll help ears understand where I was coming from, Lord, because I certainly don't have all the answers and get it right all the time. But Father, I firmly believe, based on our founders and what we see in the Declaration of Independence and their lives, that so many of them had a love for you and they served you and they were in government. And God, I long for the day when people in government will be people who love you. And they pray about things. And I'm not saying, Lord, they don't all that. You know that, Lord. But that is my heart's cry. My heart's prayer that you would raise up others that would want to live for you and lead us. So, Father, bless this word to our heart. Father, thank you that we live in America where we can have the freedom to profess Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior without threat of persecution or imprisonment or execution. Father, I pray today some would take that opportunity, the freedom that they have, and boldly profess that Jesus is Lord in their life today. Father, I pray you touch hearts. If there's someone here today, they die, they don't know they go to heaven. Father, I pray that they would take you at your word, where you said that you so loved them that you gave your only begotten to them. That if they would believe in you, believe in Jesus, they would have everlasting life. I pray that would happen today in someone's heart, right here inside this room. We're going to give you the credit for it. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Just stay with me just another moment.